We start with Seth Stevens Davidovits. He's used data from the internet to get insights into the human psyche, and he's used Google searches to measure things like racism and sexual trends, as well as humor and depression. His data often contradicts many claims by Americans, and his book is appropriately titled Everybody Lies. Good morning, Seth Stevens Davidovits.
Good morning, Jim.
Nice to talk with you. The subtitle is Big Data, New Data, and What the Internet Can Tell Us About Who We Really Are. It is remarkable, the findings you have unearthed by using internet data. And how, first of all, the process, how do you do this?
Well, I've been doing it for 5 years, so you can basically look at aggregate and anonymous data from Google searches. That's what I've done a lot of my research on. The basic point is you can't really trust what people tell you. You can't trust what they say to friends or family members. Definitely can't trust what they say on social media. You can't trust what they say frequently in surveys. But people tend to be really, really honest on Google. It serves as kind of a digital truth serum or a confessional. So by analyzing this aggregate and anonymous data, I think we can really find out who we really are.
It's considered a groundbreaking work, and Seth is a Harvard-trained economist and a former Google data scientist. And through internet searches, he's been able to determine that we lie about quite a bit, many facets of our lives. It appears we're not being totally truthful. Why do you think
that's right.
The case?
You know, whether it talks about bodily insecurity is one area it talks about. You know, a lot of people think that women are really insecure about their bodies and men are really, really confident in their bodies or don't really care. And you see on the internet, that's just not true, that men have almost as much insecurity around weight or various features of their body as women do.
And as times change, people's opinions about their bodies change. You notice that, or note that, there now are more Google searches about people's backsides than any other part of the body.
that is true. Some humorous findings, and also that Americans have changed what they wanted to do to their backsides. That they used to want to make them, Americans were concerned primarily with making them smaller, and now Americans are concerned primarily with making them bigger. So it's interesting the changes that happened that are revealed.
Let's pick up from there, and this has all happened within about a decade. From people were trying to get smaller rear ends, and now they're trying to get bigger ones. What in the world is going on?
It's just the weirdness of the human obsessions and desires. There has been this transformation in American society. Ten years ago, it would have been considered insane that a woman would want to have a bigger backside, but now it's commonplace and it's turning into crazy for a woman to want it to be smaller. Bizarre, but a revelation from the internet.
We also lie a lot about how often we're having sexual relations, according to your findings. How much are we off the mark based on what you've unearthed through Google searches?
Yeah, so basically I think I looked at condoms, how frequently people say they have sex and how frequently they say they use condoms, according to surveys. And if you do the math on this, American men say they use 1.6 billion condoms every year in heterosexual sex. American women say they use 1.1 billion condoms every year in heterosexual sex. Those numbers can't be true, right? By definition, those have to be the same. So we already know that someone's lying. You actually can get data from Nielsen, and only 600 million condoms are sold every year in the United States total. So basically everybody's lying, both men and women, about how much sex they're having. I think everybody wants to say they're having more sex than they have because it's considered kind of embarrassing if you're not having sex. And the number one complaint on Google about a marriage by far is that it's sexless. It easily beats other complaints about unhappy marriages or loveless marriages. Sexless marriage tops it. And the number one complaint that everybody has about their partner, whether it's husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, is that the partner won't have sex with me.
So on the average, you've been able to determine about how many times married couples have sexual relations in a given year. And I think most listeners would be surprised. It's a low number. It's not high.
It's about once every 12 days, which is a lot less than people say.
About 30 times a year, and that includes, of course, young people who presumably are having sexual relations quite frequently. So once every 12 days, about 30 times a year. And Americans, when they're asked the question, what do they generally say is the answer?
About 2 to 3 times as much as they actually are having.
And we lie about any number of things independent of this. It is interesting to note that we tend to always exaggerate upward. And generally, when it's something that's considered positive in our lives, we lie upward. We say we're doing something such as sexual relations with our spouses more often than we are. Is that just part of human nature?
Yeah, and I think social media has made it even worse because people really want to impress their friends. And I think there's kind of an arms race where everybody wants to be the most intellectual or have the best relationship or have the most fun and the best vacations. So the pressures become more and more to, exaggerate how good your life is on social media. And the numbers on social media don't match up at all. If you look at, for example, you can go, compare how frequently people go to Circus, which is a budget hotel, a very, very cheap hotel in Las Vegas, and how frequently they go to Bellagio, which is a luxurious hotel in Las Vegas. And Americans actually visit these hotels in equal numbers, but they're 3 times more likely to say they stayed in the Bellagio on Facebook.
Seth, as far as racism in America, how many Americans are racist?
A lot more than, say, in surveys. That if you look at the searches that people make, people search for racist jokes in much higher frequency than they'd ever admit.
In big numbers?
In huge numbers. Searches for racist jokes are about as common as searches for migraine or Lakers or The Daily Show. Big numbers of Americans are racist.
And usually people don't talk about these things, at least not the way they once did. And some people, of course, wore it on their sleeves in years past. But have we really changed, or are we just concealing our viewpoints?
I think we've changed probably. It's not as high as it used to be, but it's much higher than people think. And people have gotten much better at concealing it. And it's also higher in places that people don't think. Many places in the North, a lot of people think, I don't think this, but people do think that this is more in the South. But it's really very high in the North, in places like upstate New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio. So I think the South gets singled out here, but one of the things the Google search data tells us is this is not a Southern issue by any stretch of the imagination.
Here's an interesting one. Do parents truly view their sons and daughters equally?
No. We like to think that we do. I think most parents want to think that they treat kids of different genders the same, but if you look at search data, when parents ask, is my son, they're more likely to use words like a genius or gifted. When they ask, is my daughter, they're more likely to use words like overweight or even ugly. So they're much more excited about the intellectual potential of their sons, much more concerned about the physical appearance of their daughters.
Who cheats on their taxes?
Everybody who knows how to cheat. The reason that some people cheat on their taxes and other people don't cheat on their taxes is not morality. It's not because some people are better than other people or really, have stronger ethics. It's just that some people know the tax cheats and other people don't.
Wow. Where we grow up often determines our chances of success in life, you say. How much?
Huge amounts. You could be as much as 20 times more likely to be a big success if you're born in the right place. We like to think that America's equal opportunity. It doesn't matter where you're born. You still got the same shot. It's not true at all in the data.
What should we say on a first date if we want to have a second?
The million-dollar question, right? If you want a second date and you're a man, you want to listen to a woman. Listen. For the man, the advice is just shut up. Shut your mouth during the date, and a woman will be much more likely to agree for a second date. And for a woman, she wants to talk about herself. A lot of women on a first date clam up. They think that as I talk about in the book, this just isn't true at all. You want to open up. Men find it attractive when a woman talks about herself, is comfortable sharing her life stories. So the book shows that a lot of what women think about dating is wrong.
The book is Everybody Lies, Big Data, New Data, and What the Internet Can Tell Us About Who We Really Are, from Seth Stevens Davidovits. Now, I have one inquiry here from a listener about how we can trust your information. I think I know what you're going to say, but when we go to Google, we're certainly not concealing anything. We're going to what we go to, where when we're questioned about something, quite often we exaggerate or perhaps outright lie to make ourselves look better than we really are. Is that generally the case?
You said it better than I could have, yeah.
Okay. Well, you measure all kinds of things in society, including media. Does violent media, Seth, encourage violent behavior?
No. This one shocked me. I would have thought when you show a violent movie, violent crime goes up. It's not true. Violent crime doesn't go up. It doesn't stay the same. It drops. And this is mind-blowing. How can this possibly be the case? How can violent crime drop when a violent movie is shown in a city? Basically, what happens is violent movies attract young men with high testosterone. These men are the most at risk to commit crime. If you don't offer them this movie, they go to pool halls and bars, and they get drunk and get in fights. If you offer them a violent movie, they sit in the theater sober for a few hours and don't commit crimes. So violent movies actually lower crime. If you want to lower crime, you want to show young men a lot of violent movies so they stay away from more dangerous situations.
You even measure advertising. Does advertising work?
Yes, hugely. People like to think we lie to ourselves a lot, as I talk about in the book. It's not just that we lie to other people, although we do a ton of that. We also lie to ourselves. A lot of people don't like to think that advertising influences them. They like to think that they purchase products because they're good products, or they really need them. They don't think, I bought this product just because there was some celebrity who said I should.
All right. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. I understand that when people who need to work on their character or want to work on their character to be known, to be truthful, and to have honesty and integrity. Are those aspects, like the more you practice them, the better you get at them? Like, and maybe lying is the same way. I mean, the more they tell you truth, you tell the truth, do you get better at doing it? Like, it's automatic.
Okay. Phil, I tell you what, I think we have briefly lost Carl, so we need to get him back on. Not Carl. Carl Hyacin is next, but Seth Stevens Davidovits. And we'll get his take on your question if we can.